live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, concerns have been expressed by the 100% Redress Party that the suggestions and opinions of engineers are being ignored by the housing agency in relation to the enhanced defective concrete block redress scheme. Meanwhile, the chair of Donegal County Council's defective block redress committee says the new online portal to help people with their applications under the scheme will be open and functional within a week. Farmers claim the government are blaming them for Ireland's environmental woes and failing to adequately recognise and compensate their contribution to Irish society, particularly in terms of food production. They plan to protest in Lifford on Wednesday. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the 100% Redress Party, who said today they fear the suggestions and opinions of engineers are being ignored by the housing agency in relation to the enhanced effective concrete block redress scheme. Ali Farran, the party's PRO, says it's ridiculous that affected homeowners are paying for a professional service, which ultimately, he says, is being disregarded. He's calling for a meeting between the housing agency, engineers and the party themselves as a matter of urgency, saying that when it comes to issues such as foundations, the science needs to be followed.
Kind of ridiculous at this stage, considering that an engineer who's got all the papers and fully qualified and qualified under their previous schemes are now being ignored. It's kind of a bit ridiculous. Again, proving that the scheme that we're getting is just not up for purpose. Surely that if you say somebody is fit to do the job in the first place, that his advice or her advice should be listened to and not with a stroke of a pen deleted. And that's what seems to be happening. Like the engineers that was on the ground, they know the effect that defective concrete blocks is having on buildings, and they've done their research and they've done their studies. And now somebody from the housing agency can just say, we'll pick a better one because it might be more economical for us. It's a bit ridiculous, to be honest.
And there is another recommendation from engineers that the foundations should be replaced as well, and that's not covered on the scheme.
Well, the science is very simple. And if we have to go by the science, it's kind of silly investing money and putting it on top of putting good money on top of bad foundations. Kind of, if your child came home and was building a sandcastle that way, you would laugh at them. This is kind of stupid.
And that was Ali Farran there speaking to Donna Marie Doherty. Meanwhile, the chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Block Redress Committee says the new online portal to help people with their applications under the new scheme will be open and functional within a week. On today's 9 till noon show, Councillor Martin McDermott acknowledged the portal has been delayed, but told Greg Hughes a lot had to be done to ensure it operates properly.
This is taking longer than expected, absolutely, and it is a problem for families. I know that. I get the calls every day on this. But the new portal, particularly for payments and for ancillary monies, will be a lot more streamlined and a lot more simpler. That portal was to be up and running after Christmas. There was issues, IT issues that had to be resolved. They have now been resolved. There's also quite a bit of information to be inputted into that portal from applications that's already in with the council that has to be uploaded, the information has to be put in, so that when it goes live, that Martin McDermott or Greg Hughes can go onto their portal and their information is there then. I've had lots of conversations over the last few weeks on this. I had another conversation this morning and I'm told that if not by the end of this week, certainly by next Monday morning, the new system will be ready and go live.
Farmers are claiming the government is blaming them for Ireland's environmental woes and failing to adequately recognise and compensate their contribution to Irish society, particularly in terms of food production. The IFA will stage a protest outside Donegal County Council's special plenary meeting this Wednesday as part of a national action. It'll take place at the Council's HQ in Lifford. Speaking to Greg Hughes on this morning's 9 till noon show, IFA Regional Chair Frank Brady said Irish farmers should be better paid, and he said they're under too much pressure from government on environmental issues, pressure he believes they don't deserve.
We're tied by bureaucrats who are trying to save the world and blame the farmers for everything. So there is a need there for make sure that if somebody's going farming, that there's a proper income. And they'll do the hours, they'll do everything else, but they do need to be rewarded for the work. And we do produce carbon-friendly food. We're the best producer of milk in Europe, and we're the fifth best for beef. Nobody can produce it like we do. And less rewards for it. We don't want a big margin, but we just want to be rewarded, and the government has to stand up. And if we are not producing it, we have to go to Brazil, we have to go to Argentina, where there's massive big farmers, and they'll continue to cut down the rainforest. Mm-hmm. Then we have the carbon footprint. There will be a shortage of food, and then where do we go? And we need family farms to produce food, because they're the most efficient people at doing it. Ireland will lose its heritage of small family farms. The local GAA team will lose. The local churches will lose. Everybody loses if the family farm goes down the drain.
And that was Frank Brady there. That protest, as we said, taking place outside County House in Lifford to coincide with a Donegal County Council special plenary meeting to discuss housing. Junior doctors in Northern Ireland have overwhelmingly voted in favour of strike action. More than 97% of those balloted said yes to a full 24-hour walkout. The strike will take place in hospitals from 8 o'clock on March 6th until 8 o'clock on March 7th. That's 8 a.m. Detectives investigating a robbery in Oma are appealing for information and witnesses. Reports were received that around 1:30 this morning, a man aged in his 40s was cycling in the Cranny Road area of the town alongside the river when he was set upon by a group of six people dressed in dark clothing with their hoods up. The PSNI say he was punched and kicked before his wallet, containing a substantial sum of cash, was taken from his pocket. The group then made off in the direction of the public toilets. The victim attended hospital where he received staples to wounds to both his arm and leg. Though he didn't see a weapon, he believes those wounds may have been made with a blade. Police say this was a nasty assault which had the potential to result in much more serious injuries. The media minister says she told RTE's director general today that confidentiality agreements should be avoided if at all possible. Catherine Martin met with Kevin Backhertz and the chair of the RTE board, Shiel Nirahalli, earlier today. They discussed the fact that some executives at the broadcaster were given exit packages, including at least one with a confidentiality clause. Minister Martin says she's concerned and frustrated at how controversy around exit packages is undermining the rebuilding of trust at RTE. Earlier, Higher Education Minister Simon Harris said Mr. Backhurst needs to clarify the details of those packages.
To be fair, I think a huge body of good work has been underway and led by the Director General of RTE, but we are now in that rubber hits the road moment. I think an explanation in relation to exit packages, rationale, confidentiality clauses, commitment to transparency, full details, plus a work programme around the recommendations will be key to restoring confidence.
Well, a short time ago, Minister Catherine Martin said RTE's Director General will make a public statement later after he gets advice on the confidentiality clauses.
I have spoken to the DG on this issue, on the why and the how, and whilst he awaits the legal advice, I've asked him to speak to this himself, and he is committed to doing that this evening. I think he's in the best place as the DG, again, conscious of not, for me as Minister, not straying into the operational matters, but I believe light needs to be shed on this. So he's taking some further advice this evening, and then we'll speak to that himself.
Former Derry City Councillor Tony Hassan has died. The Sinn Féin representative served for 21 years. He was first elected to the old Derry City Council in 1997 and was returned at all subsequent elections until he stood down in 2018. In a statement today, Councillor Sandra Duffy says Tony Hassan was a stalwart and a trailblazer who was key to the ongoing regeneration of the Greater Shantalo area, from new homes and community facilities to better roads. A third of people who experience a problem with goods or services they've purchased don't report the case to the trader. That's according to a new survey by the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, which analysed consumer complaints from last year. It found 39% of over 4,500 people surveyed had encountered an issue with a purchase in 2023. Brian McHugh, chair of the CCPC, says they take these complaints very seriously.
We don't take on individual cases, but we do enforcement of breaches of consumer protection law. So where we see that there's been significant breaches of consumer protection law, we can take action. So we carry out thousands of inspections every year across a variety of consumer protection laws, and we can fine companies in some circumstances, and we can also go as far as having criminal convictions.
And the Nijuan councillor says he hopes progress on the provision of daycare services in Carndonagh and the retention of the supervised residential unit support at Rauachna Sléibhe can be made now that industrial action by Forsa has ceased. Councillor Albert Doherty says questions he submitted in early November should now get responses at the next meeting of the North West Regional Forum, which take place on tomorrow week, the 27th of February. Councillor Doherty says it's been a long wait for those affected.
Yeah, I'm glad that the industrial action has been suspended by Forsa and the HSE now will resume the meetings. To the fore for me will be again highlighting the restoration of daycare hospital services at Carndonagh Community Hospital and demanding to know what progress has occurred since the various actions that I took, supported by members, including by way of motion, including by way of forwarding materials from MPs in the Carndonagh area. And also, there was to be a scoping out meeting scheduled for November. We're now into mid and late February, and it's time the HSE had some answers.
And as you said there, it was early November that you submitted these questions. That's a long time for the people who are living the day to day.
Oh, very much so. And let's reflect, in early October, the local community hall was packed to capacity where the local people wanted to see action. The Restoration of Carndonagh Daycare Committee have set up a Facebook page, and since that there have been over 4,000 hits with people reading that information. And I just take it there is support for restoration, for the re-establishment of this service, and local people won't be going away. This will be a priority for myself and something I'll be campaigning for as we go into the local election.
And that was Councillor Albert Doherty. A mortgage broker says the country's main banks will sit up and take notice after a new entrant raised the upper age limit for mortgages. Banks usually require anyone applying for a mortgage to pay it off by the age of 70. However, lender MoCo is allowing people pay off their loan up to the age of 80. Those who are due to retire at any stage during the loan period must prove they can continue to make payments. Joey Sheehan from mymortgages.ie says increased competition is good for consumers.
They have to take heed of everything that's offered. And in this example, a longer term, yes, I think the banks should look at this, particularly for some people, maybe self-employed, who can work longer and do work longer than somebody who's guaranteed to retire at, say, age 65. It's very difficult for people to get on the housing ladder, so I think every opportunity should be explored.
Meanwhile, Age Action says the removal of upper age limits on financial products is a step in the right direction. Nat O'Connor from Age Action says older people can find it very difficult to secure a mortgage.
Age Action has been contacted by people in their 60s and 70s who are frustrated because they've been refused a mortgage on the grounds of their age, even when they have a good income or a property that they want to downsize. It's likely that this new product will only benefit those who've got a fairly substantial income, because financial institutions generally won't lend against property value alone, and most older people are on low fixed incomes.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
17 minutes past five. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with rugby. Ian Henderson is a doubt for Saturday's Six Nations fixture with Wales. The Ulster forward suffered a foot injury in yesterday's URC defeat to the Ospreys. Munster forwards Oli Yagar and Tom Ahern have both been formally added to the squad, having been training members in the first two rounds. And despite concerns over a knee injury, Hugo Keenan is also included in the panel revealed by Andy Farrell today. Uncapped Scarlets prop Harry O'Connor has been added to the Wales squad as tight head cover. Well, the Ireland squad for the upcoming Women's Six Nations has also been named. A Burt native, Steve McGrath, has been named among the forwards for the competition. The other Donegal involvement comes on the coaching staff. Former Six Nations winner Larissa Muldoon will be assistant backs and attack coach. Ireland opened their campaign with an away match against France on Saturday, the 23rd of March. Donegal's Dara O'Beale has been named as one of three nominees for the GAA.ie Player of the Week. O'Beale starred in Donegal's Division 2 win over Fermanagh with a dynamic display from halfback. The Gador man, of course, scored 2 goals and 3 points for Jim McGuinness's side as the county maintained their winning start to the league. Kerry's David Clifford and Dublin's Conn O'Callaghan are the other two nominees. O'Beale has also been included on the Team of the Week, while Derry's Shane McGuigan and Conor McCluskey are also on the team after fine displays in the Oakley County's win over Monaghan in Division 1. And the GAA talk tonight on the DL debate. We'll look at that Donegal victory over Fermanagh and look ahead to the game against Armagh with former Donegal player John Gilday. And there's also a special feature on the life of hurling great Richie Parr. Richie was in the county recently and he gave a brilliant insight into his unbelievable career on the pitch and his battles with gambling addiction off it. That's the DL debate tonight after the 7 o'clock news here in Highland and podcasted later on our website highlandradio.com. Work is due to begin at Casement Park this week. The Antrim GAA ground has laid dormant for a decade and funding is yet to be finalised for its redevelopment. However, local residents have been informed that preparation work is to begin this week with clearance of the site between April and June. It's believed a 2027 deadline has been put in place for Casement to be completed if it's to retain hosting duties for Euro 2028 matches. Cross-channel football-wise, Crystal Palace have confirmed the departure of Roy Hodgson as manager, with the manager still in hospital. He took ill last week as rumours swirled regarding his future. Ray Lewington and Dubliner Paddy McCarthy will be in temporary charge for tonight's Premier League game away to Everton. Incoming boss Oliver Glasner is expected to be in attendance at Goodison Park. It will be the fourth time the two sides play each other this season, with the Merseysiders unbeaten so far. But Everton boss Sean Dyche says that will count for nothing.
We're capable of being competitive in every game. I think we've shown that, and you know, I think the margins are important. We've got to get the right side of that. That's the only thing that's been missing when we haven't won, I think, when we create chances, haven't scored goals, that sort of thing.
Newcastle's sporting director Dan Ashworth has been put on gardening leave after telling the club he wants to move following an approach from Manchester United. But it's thought that it will cost United's new investors around £10 million to bring him to Old Trafford. Ashworth would head up the day-to-day football operations and also take responsibility for recruitment. Finally, to darts. I'm sure celebrations will be continuing today for the Donegal darts team, who won the Intercounty Championships in Meath on Sunday. Donegal came from 3-0 down to 1-7-5. The deciding matches were won by Dean Gallagher and Jordan Boyce. John Flood, Kieran McGiddy, Charlie Grant, to Adrian Devine and Declan Quinn also won matches, while Jared McGlynn took the singles title as the Glenfinnan man beat Daniel Powell 5-2 in the final. And that's your sport, Donal. Don't forget the DL debate is live after the 7 o'clock news.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. A new chief superintendent has taken up position in Donegal today. Rathmullen native Gertie Sheridan previously was superintendent in Buncrana, having taken up that position in 2020. She also previously served in Castlereagh and County Roscommon and in Sligo. The Taoiseach says it would be simply inhumane for Israel to launch an offensive in Rafah. Micheál Martin's comments come as Israel threatens to invade the southern Gaza city by the middle of next month if the remaining Hamas hostages aren't released. The Israeli government says Rafah, which is on the border with Egypt, is now the last remaining Hamas stronghold. The Taoiseach is meeting with fellow EU foreign ministers in Brussels today and says they must do everything possible to keep Israel out of Rafah.
We are very clear that all hostages should be released, and it's unconscionable that they are being held for so long. We are also of the view that to invade Rafah or to launch an attack on Rafah would bring about a catastrophic humanitarian situation on top of what is already a dire humanitarian situation.
Michael Lynn has been jailed for 5.5 years for stealing just over €18 million from 6 financial institutions during the Celtic Tiger era. The former solicitor did so by taking out multiple mortgages on the same properties, including his own €5.5 million home in Howth in Dublin. With more, here's Court's correspondent Frank Graney.
Today marks the end of a long-running saga that saw Michael Lynn being extradited from Brazil to face trial. 2 years ago, a jury was unable to reach agreement on any of the 21 charges, all of which arose from his time as a solicitor and property developer between October 2006 and April 2007. Lynn claimed the banks knew he was taking out multiple mortgages on the same properties. He said it was common practice during the Celtic Tiger years. But at his retrial last year, the jury found him guilty of 10 of the charges and the rest were dropped today. The judge set a sentence of 13 years, but gave him credit for the time he spent in a Brazilian prison. Frank Graney at Dublin Circuit Criminal Court.
And the PSNI are appealing for information following damage caused to bilingual street signs. The criminal damage was reported on Redurgan Road in Beira on Thursday last. The PSNI say it's one of a number of similar reports in the vicinity, and those who with information should, they say, get in touch. Weather forecast for this Monday evening: cloud will increase and a few patches of mist and drizzle develop in coastal areas. Moderate southwesterly winds will back southerly and freshen. Tonight, cloudy and breezy with some patches of mist and drizzle. A band of more persistent rain will spread from the northwest around dawn. Lowest overnight temperatures 6 to 8 degrees Celsius. Fresh and gusty south and southwesterly winds becoming strong for a time in coastal areas. Tomorrow it'll be a cloudy and wet start. Rain will spread southeastwards across the region during the morning. That rain clearing though by early afternoon. Sunny spells and scattered showers will follow. Fresh southwesterly winds will veer westerly as the rain clears, in highest temperatures of 10 or 11 degrees Celsius. Looking at the closing headlines on this Monday evening, concerns been addressed by the 100% Redress Party that the suggestions and opinions of engineers are being ignored by the housing agency in relation to the enhanced defective concrete block redress scheme. The chair of Donegal County Council's Defective Block Redress Committee says the new online portal to help people with their applications under the new scheme will be operational and online by next Monday morning at the absolute latest. And farmers claim the government are blaming them for Ireland's economic woes and failing to adequately recognise and compensate their contribution to Irish society, particularly in terms of food production. The IFA will stage a protest outside a special plenary meeting of Donegal County Council at County House in Lifford on Wednesday morning. Well, that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. You can check all of today's news, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 19th of February. The death has occurred of Bobby Tan, Kilmaclue, Creasla, reposing at his home with house private to immediate family, please, this evening. Open to the public tomorrow and Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, on Thursday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St. Vincent de Paul, Creasla, care of any family member or James Harkin funeral directors. The death has taken place of Harry Diver, Carnegarve, Moville. Harry's remains are reposing at his home. Harry's funeral mass will take place on Wednesday morning at 11 in St. Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Antoinette Boyce, née Doherty, Golladuff, Moville. Antoinette's remains will leave Liam Collins Funeral Home, Station Road, Carndonagh, this evening at 7. Antoinette's funeral mass will take place on Thursday morning at 11 in St. Pius X Church, Moville, followed by cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at 4 o'clock. The funeral mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Billy Doherty, White Castle, Quigley's Point. House strictly private, please. Service of Thanksgiving will take place at his home at 1:30 on Wednesday, followed by removal at 2 for burial in the family plot in Redcastle Burial Ground. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Foyle Search and Rescue, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Maurice Devenny, Lustigal, Carrigans. His remains are reposing at his sister Margaret Devenny's home at Moness St. Johnson. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock funeral service at Tiboyne Parish Church, Carrigans, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Medical 5, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has taken place of Mary McBrearty, née McDade, 9 Letterkenny Road, Lifford, formerly of Maharitloy, St. Johnson, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Joe Doherty, Jack, Mallon Road, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30, going to Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Joe's Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to University Hospital Galway Patients Comfort Fund, care of Kelly's funeral directors or any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.